strokes obviously affect not just people, but those who love them, care for them, and it can compromise greatly the mahi going forward as whānau, as kaitautoko. We're joined today by Joe Lambert, who's the Chief Executive of the Stroke Foundation of New Zealand. Alongside heart disease and cancer, stroke is one of the big killers in this country, and around 10,000 New Zealanders suffer from a stroke each year. But the Māori and Pacifica populations are, in a way, most severely affected. The foundation is frustrated that a New Zealand-devised stroke rehab program designed to particularly benefit Māori and Pacifica has been repeatedly ignored for funding in this country. That's despite being adopted in a dozen or so countries offshore. Joe Lambert's the Chief Executive of the Stroke Foundation and is with us today. Tēnā koe, Joe. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Kia ora, Dale. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. The Taking Charge After Stroke program is being utilised elsewhere, but sadly in our own country, not getting the level of support that you think it deserves. Firstly, can you talk with us about issues of stroke across the NZ? We've touched on the fact that many Māori and Pacifica families are dealing with the aftermath of stroke, but maybe you could tell us more about the Taking Charge After Stroke program.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think number one is this is a program that was developed by New Zealand clinicians and academics over 10 years ago, and it was designed specifically to support Māori and Pacific peoples after their stroke. And it is effectively a talking therapy that sits alongside all the other rehabilitation work that might go on that's provided by clinicians. And this talking therapy is about helping people who have had a stroke to reimagine their lives now that their lives have changed and look at what the positive outcomes might be after their stroke so that they can work towards living a more independent life, less dependent on whānau and health services and the system to support them. So it's all about building people's mana. It's a mana-enhancing therapy.
Tēnā koe, it's a talking therapy. We know that more of our people are inclined to try and care for their loved ones at home, and it does compromise the living arrangements in households. People are shuffling to and from work, etc., to ensure that uncle or auntie or mum or dad, that there is somebody to tautoko them and support them throughout mm-hmm. the day. So it's a big burden that our people do because they love those who have had a stroke. This talking therapy is a reminder that a lot can be achieved in the household when everyone is aware of how they can support. Tell us more about it, the talking therapy. Loss of language is so huge as a result of stroke, and so to be able to re-engage verbally and vocally is so vital. Talk with us more about talking therapy and how this program works, please, Jo.
Absolutely. It's really simple, Dale. All that is involved is two facilitated sessions by somebody who doesn't have to be clinical, but usually by somebody who's got some background experience in understanding stroke and some of the challenges that it presents for people. And what it is that there is an initial conversation with the person who's had the stroke to think about what their future could look like and to expand their horizons so that they aren't feeling like the stroke has now defined their life. And then 6 weeks later, there's a second session, again, facilitated by one of our community stroke advisors. They return to the house and they continue that kōrero with the person who's had the stroke to again think, right, now we've had another 6 weeks to think about what the future looks like. And in that 6 weeks, you've probably made some other gains as part of your rehabilitation. What now might the future look like for you? So it's about setting aspirational goals and thinking beyond the limitations of the stroke that somebody has had. And obviously, whānau play an important part in that, in helping their loved ones to think about the future in a different way that is beyond the immediate limitations of physically or mentally what that person might be experiencing.
Tēnā koe, there's some frustration at a lack of funding to enable the program to be rolled out more fully. Who have you approached? Why are the funders sitting on their hands in regard to this one while a dozen other countries adopt it? How much money is needed? Who are you asking it from? And why the hold-up, do you think?
Look, that's effectively the $5 million question, because what we're seeking is $5 million over 5 years to fund this program. This program is not about us reducing services in other ways. It's about Take Charge being complementary to the services that we already provide. Now, the maths is really simple. We know that for a $1 million investment in this program each year for 5 years, we will get $9 million back each year for 5 years. So the return on investment for this program is very, very simple. We also know that from the randomized clinical trials that were undertaken 10 years ago, with a particular focus on our Māori stroke survivors, that if this program had been in action in the community for the last 10 years, we would have over 1,000 people, Māori people who've experienced stroke, living more independently now than they have been able to. So for us, it's effectively a no-brainer. Put $1 million in, government, you'll get $9 million back, and we will have people living more independent lives. And specifically, it's focused on our Indigenous populations. And I tell you, it's so frustrating because in Canada, they have picked this up. There are thousands of people across the world benefiting from this New Zealand homegrown program that we can't get any funding for here.
Have you an example of it working there from a fellow Māori that you could share with us, Joe? Because when strokes occur, people think, well, that's it. I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life, and it could be very challenging for them. Depression can set in. But with the regaining of abilities to verbalise, likewise can also be a shot in the arm for confidence levels and self-esteem levels. Have you an example of the utilisation of this particular program, Taking Charge, after stroke, and how it might have impacted positively a whānau Māori? We don't need names, obviously, but can you share with us a kōrero of that type?
Yes. So since the beginning of the year, we've been rolling this out with stroke survivors, and that includes with whānau Māori as part of the people who engage with our services. About 50 to 60% of people who have had a stroke will benefit from this therapy, from Take Charge. And we are working with Auckland University of Technology on an evaluation program to assess the benefits of delivering this in the community. And already we have anecdotal evidence that for whānau Māori, this is making a difference. So as part of that evaluation, we are gathering data, and we have that feedback coming in already that says, yep, for us, this really works. It opens our eyes to new possibilities after stroke, which goes beyond the immediacy of feeling depressed and disheartened about the physical and mental challenges that people face in those early weeks after their stroke.
Well, tēnā koe, it's been very good talking with you. Let's hope that our kōrero doesn't fall on deaf ears, that there's funding, and it's, you know, in the scheme of things, a fairly small spend for a big gain, as you've touched on. The return of investment is significant here, but more importantly, the ability to raise the confidence levels, the self-esteem of those who've been affected by stroke. Well, it's very hard to put a figure on that. Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us, Joe.
Nga mihi. Kia ora, Dale. Thank you.
Tēnā koe, Joe. Thank you for your time. Nga mihi. It's 9.